Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat Podcast. We'd like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is a really very serious topic, a close Biden ally pushing for U.S. troops to go to Ukraine. Now, the close ally is the Democratic Senator Chris Coons. He's from the president's home state of Delaware. And he has been called the president's, quote, closest Senate ally and even a, quote, shadow secretary of state. And when he travels around the world, Coons is widely thought to speak for the president. And he actually talked about it, Coons did, with Politico last year and said, the fact that I am known to have a close relationship with them, that is Biden, helps me deliver a more forceful message. So anyway, there's no doubt that Chris Coons is close to Joe Biden. So now he is using that clout to nudge Biden towards sending U.S. troops to fight the war in Ukraine. So let's go back a few days. Last Thursday, Coons gave the Vandenberg Lecture at the University of Michigan's Gerald Ford School of Public Policy. Okay, so he was on virtually. He was appearing from Washington. And he said that the United States is, quote, coming right up against a Cuban missile crisis, by which he meant that there will soon be a, let's quote again, a direct confrontation between NATO, the United States, the West, and Russia, end quote. So that's what he said, a Cuban missile crisis moment, direct confrontation between NATO, the United States, the West, and Russia. And just to show how serious it was, but kind of mixing up his historical references, he said that today is a, quote, 1939 moment, referring, of course, to events leading to the start of World War II in Europe. Coons predicted that there will, quote, almost certainly be an incident in which Vladimir Putin, quoting again, goes too far, either within Ukraine by using chemical weapons or just over the border by claiming an accident in which a cruise missile strikes an arms depot where Americans are unloading Stinger missiles from a C-17 about to go across the border. So Coons said that at that point, when that incident happens, and there's almost certainly going to be one, the U.S. will have to decide whether to send troops Ukraine. Quote, now this is all again, this is Chris Coons talking at the University of Michigan. It's important that in a bipartisan and measured way, we in Congress and the administration come to a common position about when we are willing to go to the next steps and to send not just arms, but troops to the aid and defense of Ukraine. If the answer is never, then we are inviting another level of escalation and brutality by Putin. But so far, that is the answer of a majority in Congress and this administration, end quote. So Coons is saying that the moment is coming, and Congress and the administration are going to have to decide whether to go to the next step to send not just arms, but troops to Ukraine. And if the United States' answer continues to be never, that will invite a new level of escalation and brutality from Vladimir Putin. Now, although he thought, you know, he put his thoughts in the form of a question, you know, when that happens, what will we do? It seemed clear that Coons, who, by the way, before the Russians actually invaded, but were building up for the invasion, opposed sending U.S. troops to Ukraine, is now in favor of troops. Now, that is a position that is not only at odds with the position of the president and the administration, but also large majorities of the American people. So not that many people noticed this virtual speech that he gave before the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan, but CBS's Face the Nation, the moderator, Margaret Sullivan, did notice it. So Coons appears on Face the Nation on Sunday, and Sullivan asked him flatly about what he had said to the Michigan gathering. So why don't we listen to her question and to his answer right now.
In some public remarks this week, you said the country needs to talk about when it might be willing to send troops to Ukraine. You said if the answer is never, then we are inviting another level of escalation and brutality by Putin. Are you arguing that President Biden was wrong when he said he would not send troops to Ukraine? Are you asking him to set a red line?
Margaret, I think those of us in Congress who have a critical role in setting foreign policy and in advising the president in terms of his decisions as commander in chief need to look clearly at the level of brutality. This is a moment of enormous challenge for all of us. And I deeply respect President Biden's leadership in pulling together the West, in imposing crushing sanctions on Russia and in bringing to this fight countries that had stayed on the sidelines before. I think President Biden's leadership has been steady and constructive. But this is a critical moment. If Vladimir Putin, who has shown us how brutal he can be, is allowed to just continue to massacre civilians, to commit war crimes throughout Ukraine without NATO, without the West coming more forcefully to his aid, I deeply worry that what's going to happen next is that we will see Ukraine turn into Syria. Mm-hmm. The American people cannot turn away from this tragedy in Ukraine. I think the history of the 21st century turns on how fiercely mm-hmm. we defend freedom in Ukraine, and that Putin will only stop when we stop him.
Okay, so there's the key line at the very end. Putin will only stop when we stop him. You notice that Margaret Sullivan had asked, are you saying Biden was wrong, that he would not send, when he said he wouldn't send troops to Ukraine? Are you asking Biden to set a red line? And Kunz did not say no. Didn't say yes, didn't say no, but he certainly didn't say no. And he sounded like he was, in fact, asking for that very sort of red line, and then said, Putin will only stop when we stop him. So the question now is how influential Kunz might be with his close ally, his good friend, Joe Biden. Throughout the Ukrainian crisis, Biden has been pulled along by others, been influenced and pulled along by others in his party and elsewhere, while maintaining his core determination to keep U.S. troops out of fighting in Ukraine. And he said, quote, that's called World War III. He said that last month when he decided not to facilitate the transfer of fighter jets to Ukraine. Now, in addition, he recently flip-flopped on the question of whether Putin and Russia are committing genocide in Ukraine. It's a critical question here, and I'm going to talk about that next. Okay, I said I was going to talk about Biden and the question of genocide. First, I did want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying it, learning from it, it'd be really great if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it at iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast. Would really, really love to have you. Just wanted to say that. Now, Biden did flip-flop on this question of genocide in Ukraine. On April the 4th, there had been the publication of these videos of Russian atrocities in the area around Kyiv. And the Ukrainian President Zelensky was calling this genocide. And Biden was asked, quote, do you agree that it's genocide? And he responded, quote, no, I think it is a war crime. When he was asked what he's going to do about it, Biden's answer was, I'm seeking more sanctions. Now, what could be more sort of expectable than Biden saying, I'm going to seek more sanctions? But he had said, no, this is not genocide. This is a war crime. I don't want to downplay the atrocities that are being committed, but they're war crimes. They're not genocide. Okay, so that's Biden's position on April the 4th. And it changed 8 days later on April the 12th. Biden goes to Iowa. It's mostly a speech about the economy, trying to sell his plan, which he still wants to pass, to spend trillions more dollars in stimulating the American economy. Anyway, he said, quote, your family budget, your ability to fill up your tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide a half a world away. Of course, that caught everybody's ears, you know, because just a few days ago, he had said no. He was not calling what was happening in Ukraine genocide. And then, wow, he just uses it. He throws it in the speech, never uses it again in the speech. So afterwards, quite reasonably, reporters say, well, you know, did you mean that? Did you use the word intentionally? And he said, yes, I called it genocide. This is Biden speaking. It has become clearer and clearer that Putin is just trying to wipe out the idea of even being able to be Ukrainian. And the evidence is mounting. It's different than it was last week. More evidence is coming out, literally the horrible things that the Russians have done in Ukraine, and we're going to only learn more and more about the devastation. And we'll let the lawyers decide internationally whether or not it qualifies, but it sure seems that way to me. So he kind of leaves himself this out by saying, we'll let the lawyers decide whether, you know, it's really technically genocide, but it sure seems that way to me, the president. Now, that is not the State Department's position. And like earlier Biden statements that we've talked about before, the department stayed away from Biden's genocide declaration. Now, other observers, maybe you read National Review's Rich Lowry, argued strongly that while Russia is, in fact, committing atrocities and war crimes in Ukraine, it is not committing genocide. So Lowry went to the United Nations definition of this, and that's where the definition of genocide comes from in the 1940s, after the events, the Holocaust events in Europe, the 1930s and 40s. And he writes, the United Nations defines genocide as acts, quote, committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. Okay, back to Rich Lowry. The Russians are guilty of great savagery in Ukraine, but there is no evidence that they intend to exterminate the Ukrainians. Okay, I agree with his conclusion there. I went to the United Nations website, looked a good bit into the history of the whole thing and the formal definition, but doesn't matter. Biden is on record calling the Russian invasion genocide. And now his closest ally, Senator Coons, is pressing for the U.S. to be ready to send troops. Meanwhile, poll after poll after poll finds that most Americans do not want U.S. troops to fight in Ukraine. You'll find plenty of the polls. Just go to Real Clear Politics. But here's an interesting question that was asked by Quinnipiac last week. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways you can ask this question. This one I thought was kind of interesting. So I'm going to read you the whole question as if you were the poll taker. Which comes closest to your point of view? A, the United States should do more to support Ukraine, even if it means increasing the risk of the United States getting into a war with Russia. B, the United States should do more to support Ukraine, but not if it means increasing the risk of the United States getting into a war with Russia. Or C, the United States is already doing enough to support Ukraine. Okay, the result, interesting question, the result was an overwhelming majority against getting deeper into the war. Among registered voters surveyed, okay, 52% chose option B. That is the one where the United States should do more to help, but not if it increases the risk of getting into war. Okay, that's 52% chose option B. Then 23% chose option C, meaning that the U.S. is already doing enough to help Ukraine. Just 18% of those respondents chose option A, which was the United States should do more to help, even if it does mean increasing the risk of getting into the war. So, if you put options B and C together, that is, the people who want to see the United States help more, but not if it increases the risk of getting into the war, and the people who say we're already doing enough to help Ukraine, put options B and C together, and that is 75% of those surveyed opposed to the U.S. taking actions that increase the risk of U.S. involvement in the fighting. Okay, that's pretty clear. 75%, pretty big majority. You're seeing other polls, same way. Ask the question all sorts of different ways. You're getting this result, like 3/4 of the American people are opposed to this. Pretty solid majority. But now, you do have voices in favor of U.S. troops in Ukraine, like Senator Coons, who are speaking out more forcefully. And Biden himself has muddied the picture here with his declaration of genocide, which evokes images of the Holocaust and of World War II. So if the Russians are committing genocide, doesn't that increase pressure on the United States to become more deeply involved? I mean, can the president plausibly come out and say that if the Ukraine matter is just a war, then we'll send Javelin missiles? But if it's genocide, we'll raise the stakes and send helicopters. I mean, doesn't that seem a disproportionately small gesture if there is, in fact, genocide going on in Europe? And I think that's the argument that you will see. Now, some opponents of U.S. troops in Ukraine, maybe you're one of them, 75% of the country, might have relaxed a little bit in recent days because it became clear that Russia failed in its effort to take Kyiv and perhaps all of Ukraine. It failed in that effort. But of course, it doesn't mean it's over. Ukrainian President Zelensky has been trying to remind the West that it's not over, not over, not over. It's getting bigger. But it doesn't mean that it's over. The focus is shifting to what might be more concentrated fighting in the eastern part of Ukraine. So the opponents of U.S. troops had maybe thought that this was kind of winding down and the worry about U.S. committing U.S. troops might also wind down. But that's not the case. As the focus shifts to more concentrating fighting in eastern Ukraine, the debate over U.S. intervention is likely to grow, not to subside, but to actually grow. So that's what I wanted to talk about. I didn't think that Senator Kuhn's comments, certainly last week in Michigan and then Sunday on CBS, had gotten quite enough attention, and wanted you to think about it. So thanks very much for joining us. Always appreciate it when you can be with us, and hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
I'm back from the border, and I'll tell you what I saw and why Biden's open border policies are a bigger problem every day. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I will detail the latest evidence of how Biden is spreading this crisis around the country. And I'll discuss the dystopian nightmare we're seeing in Shanghai, where people cannot leave their homes. What is really happening there? Join me. Follow the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.